Good morning. Today is Thursday, May the 28th. Joining us this morning out of the, well, not out of the swamp. I guess he is out of the swamp. Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol Arcata office. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me again.
Well, you know, we keep anticipating we're going to get more food out of this relationship, so we'll keep you around.
Once we can actually come into the studio, I'll bring you a treat.
That's right. Hey, boy, won't that be a good day all across the board. Okay,
yeah,
Winston, why do we say it?
All right, continuing from yesterday, two bits. Why do we call a quarter two bits?
Because it was from pieces of eight, and it was two of the eighths.
I like that answer. What
all
he
right.
said.
Okay. Let's go with another one.
Did I get it right?
Yes.
Ha!
Too
right.
quickly again.
No. Well, that's part of the pirate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we'll just say I won today and move. Did you see that video, the two crocodiles wrestling on the 18th fairway?
I did. That was pretty interesting.
Kind of took you home, huh?
Better that they're fighting each other than rolling around with an old lady on the golf course.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. So how did we do this past weekend? We win, we lose? What happened?
I think we did a lot better. I don't have last year's stats. I know they were low, but I don't think they were this low. I mean, we had no fatals, which we didn't have any fatals last year over Memorial Day weekend either. But statewide even, you know, obviously our numbers are down these last few months on a lot of things other than driving over 100. But locally we had 6 DUI arrests and no fatals. So there are a couple of crashes, a couple of other incidents that I believe our officers responded to, but nothing major. And I think everyone safely got where they were going for the most part.
What are you
pretty similar as well?
Yeah, what are you hearing from your buddies down in the metropolitan areas? Is the traffic volume super low there also, or are people behaving themselves kind of sort of better?
Yeah, I actually was talking to a friend of mine in the LA area, and you know, they've had conversations, at least in the very beginning of stay at home and sheltering in place. Pictures of empty freeways and them telling me how they were able to, you know, drive from exit to exit or on-ramp to on-ramp without passing another car. It's very, very interesting. If you've ever spent any time in an area like that, you know, it's near impossible to get all the cars off the road. So it's kind of neat, I'm sure, from their perspective to have that. But lately, the traffic's been picking back up, not to where it was prior to this epidemic, but it's picking up. So their activity is definitely different than ours, just based on the mere fact that they have way more people. But people are starting to come out of their shells and get out more, which is a good thing, I think. We need to see where this is going, but it's good that people are able to start moving around.
What about from emergency response when you guys do have a call? Are you seeing the response time dropping significantly, or has it that kind of an impact?
Yes. So conversation recently, talking to some other PIOs about their areas in a conference call, they're reporting much quicker response times, lower response times, because they can get there, and especially in the metropolitan areas, that's the case. So they're able to get to a call much quicker without the being impeded by traffic. Even with lights and siren, you know, we can't magically pass through cars that are in our way or get through traffic without having to get around it, having the cooperation of other drivers. So it's definitely made that part of it easier. I think we're probably seeing fewer pursuits because the people are just more visible and can't hide and get away as easy. So statewide pursuit numbers are down.
Are there different types of calls that the officers are responding to?
Well, I can imagine that most areas, you know, we all do the same. We have our own calls that we respond to, which would primarily be crashes or reports of maybe reckless drivers and that type of thing, distracted drivers. that's a majority of our calls that come in throughout a day, and that's true around the state. We also assist other agencies. So like this weekend, there's multiple agencies were involved in something that like started in McKinleyville, went into Arcata. It ended up involving Sheriff's Department, Arcata, PD, and us working together to figure it all out. It's the same everywhere you go. Here in the rural area, and our offices that are the same in nature with the rural outlying areas and county areas, we do a lot more of that. The city may not have much overlap with jurisdictions, but I enjoy this type of area because it does give you a chance to handle calls that can be different from just their typical crash into a guardrail, ran off the road, parking complaint, things like that. Those are what we do. It's what we get paid to deal with. But it's fun to get involved in other law enforcement type stuff because that's not our typical lane that we're in. So,
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. Paul, motorcycles kind of go together with this time of the year. Are there any new challenges that enforcement of speed and vehicle code with motorcycles brings to the table for your folks?
Well, May was our Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month, and we've had really good along with everything else, numbers are down for crashes with motorcycles. But the unique challenges that come with that really lie in the fact that they're small, mobile, devices that can get in and out of traffic. It's much easier to avoid law enforcement. And the scariest thing for us to be involved in is a pursuit with a motorcyclist. Not so much of the danger for us, but the reality of the danger for a motorcycle rider that could take a fall in a pursuit. Those are scary. We tend to back away from those. It's just not worth the risk to the community, ourselves, and the rider themselves. And definitely if we are able to identify the rider or if we have a plate, that makes it easier. Having air support in the area, which is very rarely the case here, could be a consideration for continuing pursuit of a bike. But those poor decisions by a rider when they try to run definitely, I think, makes it a much tougher decision process for the officer, deciding whether or not to pursue. And most of the time, it's only for a minor traffic violation. It's not worth chasing them for.
Are there certain personalities that you find with motorcycles? If you think of a motorcycle versus a scooter, okay, they're basically similar, if we were going to go with the descriptions of the two, but the personalities attracted to each are most times significantly different. Are there profiles of personalities for people that ride motorcycles versus standard vehicles?
I don't think so. Not for the purposes of enforcement, but when it comes to the style of bikes. Different personalities tend to match up with the style of bike that they're riding. But when it comes to trying to quote-unquote profile a rider for behavior, I've pulled over every style of bike and different riders. I mean, it's hard to know who's underneath a helmet. You meet some interesting characters. The big bearded burly guys tend to be the most charismatic, nice, friendly people when you try to pull them over, and you end up in a conversation on the side of the freeway with those guys. They tend to have the most personality. I don't see being able to detect who's going to run from you or something like that. I don't think as a predictor.
Or just, you know, how they might interact. You know, I suspect that, you know, in the old days, the Harley-Davidson guys were wildly different than what a Yamaha would be like, just because they tend to be a little bit, they identify with the brand.
Right. And you're bringing up a point with that style of bike. So you don't typically have, I guess maybe it sounds cliche. It doesn't to me, but outlaw motorcycle gangs is a category of gangs that is studied and is a thing. They tend to ride a certain style of bike. You don't typically see them on a crotch rocket flying down the freeway. So that probably is one thing you have to consider when you're first looking at that style of bike, looking at what they're wearing. Am I making a stop on a motorcycle with a member of a gang? So I guess maybe in a way you would say profiling the rider themselves. And just like a car with tinted windows where you can't see someone inside, you have to approach cautiously and determine upon your contact what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, and you raise your level of officer safety or lower it based on your contact. And we do that really with every stop. But those would be some things you would look for and could be an identifier when you're stopping maybe a speeding motorcycle. You don't typically see that type of person on a little fast speed bike.
What about on weekends? You know, we'll tend to see pods, is kind of how I think of them. Groups of folks on motorcycles rather than the individual. When you pull over a group of folks, I would think that dynamic could be rather interesting at times.
It can. That's an officer safety concern, and not just for the officer, but for the rider safety as well. Depending on where you make the stop, if I'm stop the rider from a group, and we're on the side of the freeway where there's a lot of traffic, I don't necessarily want six other riders off their bikes on the side of the freeway. Considerations might be having everyone stay on their bikes. Obviously, you don't want them out walking around, the dangers of that. Continuing, have them, rest of the riders continue to the next exit, and or even have all the riders continue to the next exit and continue to stop there. We can do that. We have the option to do that. I could contact the rider quickly, identify myself, get their identification, say, hey, let's all safely move up to exit up the street here. We'll get off there on the ramp. There'll be less traffic, less danger for us, and I'll recontact you there and see what we got going on. Done that before with cars and bikes, and could definitely be a safer option. But the officer safety side of who am I dealing with? Do I have six bad guys that just raided a house party and stole all their cash?
Right.
Whatever the scenario could be. Yeah, I don't want to be by myself with six people with helmets in their hands and who knows what other weapons available to them that I can't see, and they're not trapped by the constraints of the interior of a vehicle.
Yeah,
good. By their actions.
Good move. It's 8:30. Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. Talk Shop, presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Paul, with, I guess, the weekend motorcycle enthusiast out driving around now, taking some of the more scenic routes in our area, what are some of the things that you would recommend for the regular motorist so that they don't get into a situation that they're unanticipating or not anticipating with a motorcyclist?
Yeah, I always like to say it's a shared responsibility between the drivers and the motorcycle riders. We have to keep an eye out for each other. For a motorcycle rider in this area too, they have the same, they're going to face the same hazards that we do as a driver, with rocks in the road, the trees that fall, winding roads that, you know, drop off into the river or the ocean. Over driving a bike can happen real fast. And I think Crescent City actually had a crash a couple of weeks ago with a motorcycle off the road that straightened out a curve, so to speak. It's always important to talk to drivers and motorcycle riders together about protecting them and keeping them safe. So for a motorcycle rider, wouldn't want them riding in the blind spot of a car. And I would talk to the driver of the car about checking their blind spots and being very cautious about changing lanes, to kind of hit both sides of that spectrum. As a rider, always assume that you're not being seen. So wearing reflective clothing, protective clothing if you do go down, some, you know, sturdy clothing that'll protect you when you hit the road, and a proper DOT helmet. That gear is very important to have on. I've never come across anyone not wearing a helmet. I'm sure those types of stops are rare, but it's not just wearing the helmet, it's having a proper helmet that's been DOT approved, doesn't have any damage to it from previous falls or being dropped and thrown around. It's not 20 years old and cracked from aging. You want it to do its job, otherwise it's kind of pointless to have it on.
I've often wondered why some of the motorcycle apparel isn't more brightly colored. Yeah, I get the leather thing, and okay, fine. But for those that have like the jumpsuits that they use, most times it's in the really dark colors instead of something that's really bright. Yeah, and yet when you see the construction workers on the side of the road, they're wearing the brightest coloration that you can imagine. You know, and the traffic safety cones have got the really bright also, as a way to stand out.
I agree. I think it's, I won't say 100% because that's putting a lot of eggs in one basket. It's probably a very high percentage that has to do with looks, wanting to be cool. You know, do you want to drive down the road in your neon pink coat and cruising on your Harley? I don't see a lot of people choosing that for fashion wear.
No, but probably don't have too many cops doing that either with your jumpsuits. So.
No, that's true. You know, the reflective strips and stuff that go on a lot of clothing now, it can be very helpful for nighttime driving, but it doesn't offer added visibility during the daytime. So, I mean, even if you put, like a safety vest on or like a crossing guard, little straps that are bright and something that's visible, it can help 100%. It will help on visibility. It doesn't look cool.
You mentioned nighttime driving. Hadn't thought of it, but do you see a lot of motorcyclists driving at nighttime? I mean, I would think, defeats some of the purpose of being able to see what's going on all around you.
Yeah, you know, I don't typically see that, and it's not, especially here on the coast with the fog and cooler weather in the evenings and early morning. Last 11 and a half years or so I've been here, I have not seen a whole lot of motorcycle traffic. It's typically someone that commutes. Maybe that's their mode of transportation to and from work. That would be probably the most common rider we've seen. Maybe somebody who got a late start on their the ride up to Del Norte from San Fran or something.
Looking for the hotel room. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. Paul, another thing this time of the year, in addition to the motorcycles, is lakes, rivers, beaches, oftentimes beverages. Is there a seasonality to some of the different types of incidences you guys and gals have to respond to?
Yeah, absolutely. When you combine alcohol with the heat, getting outdoors and being on the our lakes and rivers and out at the ocean this weekend, I got to be honest, I expected probably higher numbers with DUIs and crashes just because of the fact that it was the first weekend out of essentially out of a shelter in place where people were confident enough to come out for a bit. And I saw some pictures. I didn't personally travel out to the beaches here. I have seen pictures and talked to people that went out for some calls, and it was pretty busy, a lot of outdoor enjoyment. But when you combine the alcohol with the heat, the exhaustion of a day out playing on the river, paddling around, wherever it is, that drive home in the late in the day or the evening is a high risk of something bad happening. This time of year, this is when it starts right now, Memorial Day weekend, taking us through the end of the summer and on into Labor Day. And we got 4th of July. It'll be here before we know it. Graduation's coming up. We're fortunate in as much as the college graduation has taken a different route this year, so we're not seeing the travels here, the celebrations and parties that you would typically see. So this is definitely going to be a different year for that type of call with the crashes and DUI arrests and reports of reckless drivers. We expect to see those numbers be down quite a bit.
I think a lot of folks are familiar with the concept of, you know, what one beer will do, two beers, three beers, and the progression to I guess inebriation and not having the motor skills or the decision-making processes. Has there been one associated with fatigue? I'm thinking when you said paddling around, and you know whether or not you use booze or not, or something else in the sun, physical tiredness, end of a weekend. There's got to be some kind of an impact, but how does that equate to alcohol consumption?
So it's not really measurable or quantifiable because everybody is different. The same as alcohol impairment can be different for the same amount of beer from person to person. When you combine those two things, so when I do my teen driver safety classes, we do talk about fatigue, but it's more about lack of sleep. So if you're up for 24 hours, you could be at the equivalent of a 0.08 for alcohol consumption, which is legally impaired. If you're combining an exhaustion or a lack of sleep with alcohol consumption, it's not quantifiable, but it absolutely it causes a combined effect, because being tired is a form of a depressive state, and then you're taking on a depressant with alcohol. That it just amplifies the your brain's capacity to quickly process information, multitask, and be able to properly operate a motor vehicle. So if you're having any amount of alcohol, it's important. You know, I would just err on the side of caution, not drive. But especially if you've been up all day and active and out in the sun, be very, very careful and mindful that it could be worse.
Yeah, and I suppose that's either the pull over, have somebody else drive, rather than trying to to He-Man it through?
Have a designated driver. You know, you got to head home at the end of the day. You know, you got to have somebody that's, even if they're staying active, doing the same stuff. Don't drink. Make sure you have someone to get you there safe. Prepare, plan ahead.
Yeah, or if you're the one who's going to be driving the ski boat all day long, so you're out on the water and the sun and just dehydration, and I mean some of those things that are just normal, regular, then to get behind the wheel of the vehicle for a couple hour drive home, yeah, that really could be sometimes a little too much.
Well, if you're driving the boat, you shouldn't be drinking anyway, because you could get a boating DUI, so there you go.
Yeah, I bet you that's a duty you haven't had, though, huh? A marina cop?
I was in the Coast Guard for 5 years. I had my time boarding boats.
Did you ever find somebody with a commercial vehicle driving drunk?
No. Unfortunately, I had to do fisheries for most of my Coast Guard career.
There you go.
Wasn't a lot of fun summer boating.
Always chasing the prawns. Gotta love it. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me. We'll see you next time.
All righty. See everybody tomorrow.